Welcome to another edition of the Baseball America podcast. I'm JJ Cooper, joined here today by Matt Eddy. Our second podcast of the day. We posted up the College Top 25 podcast this morning. John and Aaron with the first college podcast of the year. But we're back again later today because it's not often you have a player of Justin Upton stature traded in it. We've been expecting it. You know, there's been rumors of it all offseason. We even had a trade that was kind of largely worked out, but Justin Upton turned it down. But now today we have the news that Justin Upton sent to the Braves. I mean, yeah, Justin Upton sent to the Braves, and the Diamondbacks getting a rather large package of prospects and major leaguers back in return. And I guess you know, Matt Eddy does our transactions. Matt Eddy is in charge of Trade Central. So I'll start off by asking you, Matt. So what stood out about this trade to you?
Well, the first thing is that the two clubs effectively swapped third baseman. You know, you got Martin Prado going to Arizona, Chris Johnson back to Atlanta. Well, he might be more in a platoon situation for the Braves, but he was slated to be the Diamondbacks regular. So when you take those guys out, you have Upton for Randall Delgado and Zeke Sproul, a couple of ground ball-oriented right-handed starters. Nick Ahmed, who's going to be in Double-A this year, shortstop. And Brandon Drury, who's kind of the throw-in wild card. He could be good, or he could flame out before he reaches Double-A.
Oh, and Delgado, was to kind of break it down for people, Delgado was our number three prospect in the Braves system last year, no longer eligible for Prospect Handbook. You know, and then they did not get, you know, this year's number one, who was sometimes rumored to be in this deal when they were kind of working on the parameters, Julio Teheran. Not included. Delgado, I would say, it's safe to say, is included instead. Notably also, I'd heard some, you know, there were some rumblings that, hey, would J.R. Graham be involved in Steele, the Braves' number two prospect? He's not involved. Instead, Zeke Sproul, who's the number nine prospect in the organization. Nick Ahmed, number 11 prospect in the organization. And then Brandon Drury is the number 27.
All right.
Number 27 prospect in the organization.
He dropped significantly this year. Really bad first half with Rome. But he was... You couldn't find a manager or a scout in the 2011 Appy League who did not love that guy. He ranked number two behind only Miguel Sano.
I like that. I mean, that's the pickup I like, is that I like getting a guy who essentially at this point you're really talking about it. Seriously, he's had a 2.5 year career, pro career. Really bad in the GCL in 2010, but you kind of throw that out because a lot of people are really bad in the GCL. It's a tough jump. It really is. It's a brutal. You're not playing in front of fans. It's the heat and all those things. Chipper Jones was terrible in the GCL. Then he goes to the Appy League. Great year in the Appy League for Danville. And then, as you said, he kind of really took a step back again this past year in Rome. You may be getting nothing there for the Diamondbacks. At the same time, though, there have been things. You've seen some positives there. I mean, especially if you had good reports on him from the Appy League, no reason not to say, you know what, he's going to play the year at he's going to be a little old. You know, he's going to play the year at 22, but you hope it kind of all comes together again. That guy could be a guy who, you know, it's a flyer. Mm-hmm. The question I wanted to ask, though, is that I've heard a lot of people saying, I was, you know, listening to a little analysis on MLB XM, you know, MLB Network Radio, as I went to lunch and all. There were fans calling in. There were people talking about, hey, well, they couldn't get Teheran, so they got Delgado instead. To me... If you're the Diamondbacks, you want Delgado, not Teheran. Do you agree with that?
I think you could find scouts a year ago who preferred Delgado to Teheran. I don't think that's a stretch to say that.
And that was
Teheran. I mean, Delgado has two legit plus pitches.
And the other thing is that Delgado has shown that he can make the jump to the big league level.
Absolutely.
Teheran took a pretty giant step back. Now, the best way I can put it is that. I think there is a chance that Teheran still has a higher ceiling than Delgado. But I think the likelihood of reaching that ceiling is way lower. I think with Delgado, you get Delgado, and you immediately are able to say, here, you're part of our rotation.
Yeah, and furthermore, do you think it was really a situation where the Braves said, no, you can't have Teheran? You don't think they would have traded him?
I think you would much rather trade Delgado, you feel confident. You know, he's part of our rotation.
Yeah.
Teheran, I don't think even after this move that you can be confident, considering the season he had last year.
No.
Considering some of the issues he had, you know, just really with his stuff at times backed up last year, His command at times backed up last year, and his effectiveness really backed up last year. That being said, I don't think that you can say right now, okay, well, Tehran's just in the rotation. Good. You know, wash your hands. We know, you know, if you're the Braves, we're but at the same time, if you look at the rotation, there's not a whole lot of other options left now. I mean, because you're talking about it, at the front of the rotation, you've got Hudson. You know, you also have Chris Medlin, who you kind of hope can, if he can come close to matching what he did last year, thumbs up. Paul Mahalem back for another year. After that, the next guy was going to be Delgado.
Mike Minor.
Mike Minor's now number four. If you talk about number five right now, it's Julio Tehran.
Unless Sean Gilmartin is absolutely lights out in spring training.
And
or somebody, some minor league guy we're not thinking of.
But I do think, though, that this is an opportunity for Julio Tehran. But I'll put it this way. If Julio Tehran doesn't break camp in the rotation, that's a pretty good sign. Again, just a reminder, yes, if you're the Diamondbacks, this trade was about getting Delgado, not Tehran. And that doesn't mean, again, I think Tehran was still the number one prospect in the Braves organization. And I think he'll still be a top 100 guy when we get run, you know, around doing our top 100 prospect list. He's not going to rank nearly as high in that top 100 this year as he did last year.
He won't be top 10.
No. But I think that's safe to say. Now, you look at this. It's interesting that this trade was rumored long enough that there was almost the rumors of this trade. There was an entirely different trade, it almost seemed like. There was, you know, rumors, as we talked about, that had Tehran. They're talking about J.R. Graham, talking about Evan Gattis.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, this trade ended up being a different trade, a very different trade than that. From the Diamondbacks side, okay, who do you think? Is Delgado the key piece in this deal to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who's the second most important?
I think Prado. I think he's an underrated major league asset. They only have 1 year of control on him, but the rumor to be extending him. But this is a guy I think is underrated. I mean, strong contact skills, strong walk rate. He's gonna hit average. He's going to, you know, scrape double-digit home runs.
And has some position versatility, which obviously is going to be their third baseman. That's really the plan for him. But this is a situation, you know, when they had Chris Johnson was not something where they were pointing to this and saying, hey, Chris Johnson, he's our third baseman. We're not, you know, considering any other situations because, you know, Chris Johnson just has that job.
Well, they also traded Ryan Wheeler this offseason.
Right.
So they've traded two third basemen.
But what I was going to say, though, is that let's say that midpoint of the season or late in the season, let's say if Matt Davidson's ready and you think he can play third base every day, Martin Prado, you have that versatility that he can play in a lot of different places.
That's true.
The thing that is interesting to me is I, you know, I've seen some people tweeting out, you know, comparing the WAR last four years for Upton and Prado. And I've also seen people pointing out, like, you know, last year a lot of Prado's value, when you look at wins above replacement, was based on his defensive rating in left field, which...
A crazy UZR, right?
Right. That being said, though, if you just look at their offensive WAR, two of the last 4 years, Prado has exceeded Upton's offensive WAR. If you think that the defensive numbers, you know, okay, that might be a little bit more...
And that's the ballparks coming into play, too.
Right. So the thing that stands out is for this next year, I think I would expect Justin Upton to produce more than Martin Prado, but it's not a slam dunk because, I mean, Martin Prado is a very solid offensive player.
Sure.
And again, if you can get that at third base, and I don't think there's any question he can play third base, then, I mean, that stands out. The other thing that did strike me about this deal is that this is it for Justin Upton. As far as, I mean, he's still young enough. There's always been this feeling of, man, he's not having the season. He's had basically one season like the seasons that are expected of Justin Upton.
Right, like MVP candidate seasons.
Right, he's had one of those, which that isn't bad. I mean, he was 24, but, you know, he's 24 now. Well, the thing about it is that he's now, you can throw away any questions of, is he not happy in the, you know, with the team he's, you know, with. They've been talking about trading and all that. Okay, that's all gone. You also throw, you know, he's playing with his brother. Everything is set up for Justin Upton now. If Justin Upton, because he's going to basically be nearing his peak age as a Brave, barring another truly unexpected second trade, if these next 3 years aren't what we expect out of Justin Upton, there are no real, you know, barring injury, there are no excuses. I mean, this is set up for Justin Upton to be the star that kind of we've all expected him to become.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. You know, when we talk about that trade that Upton Upton Vito to the Mariners. Which, from the Diamondbacks' perspective, which haul would you rather have received, if that Mariners package is to be believed?
And the Mariners package, just for our listeners, help me if I'm missing someone here. Okay, so it was one of the big three.
Mm-hmm. And it Walker. Let's say it's Walker.
Let's say it's Taiwan Walker, who we both agree is the best of the three. So Taiwan Walker, Nick Franklin. Stephen Pryor.
I think so. I think it was Pryor.
And I want to say there might have been a fourth player involved.
Like a throw-in piece who's either a lower prospect or maybe a young major leaguer.
To me, I want the Mariners trade.
Because of the upside?
Yeah. I mean, you could say that in 2013 is the Braves trade maybe going to help you a little bit more. I mean, especially because Martin Prado is very likely to produce more in 2013
right.
than anyone, you know, in that proposed Mariner trade. Because Martin Prado is a big league vet on the tail end of the prime of his career, heading into free agency at the end of the year, you know, potentially all those things. Martin Prado is a more productive player for 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think when you have Justin Upton signed for the next 3 years, if your logic is we think it's a better, you know, that we're playing for 2013, well, then this was a bad trade. You don't trade away Justin Upton because you say, you know, I mean, you're playing, the argument has to be, we think this is going to help us more long term. And if you're doing that, I think the chance that Taiwan Walker is going to end up as an ace is better than Delgado. You know, if I think that Nick Franklin is better than Nick Ahmed, although Ahmed, I think, has a better chance of staying at short,
mm-hmm.
you know, long term. But they just traded for their new Derek Jeter and Didi Gregorius, so I don't think that they really are looking. Ahmed is the backup plan. It seems to me like we were talking about this earlier today. Ahmed is probably 2 years away.
Mm-hmm.
So Didi Gregorius has 2 years here to prove, hey, I'm the guy. Although, you know, and if not, Ahmed could be that guy. Well, unless there's also rumors that the Diamondbacks may turn around and look to trade Ahmed in a package to the Tigers for Rick Porcello, which that would be fascinating. I mean, that, you know, the Diamondbacks just they would have won the offseason as far as most intriguing moves.
And look at that. I mean, Towers attempting to trade for another ground ball pitcher, Porcello. In this deal, he gets Delgado, he gets Spruill.
Yeah, Zeke Spruill.
Spruill. And last offseason,
by the way, someone feel free to tweet if I just mispronounce that because I mispronounce names all the time. But
everyone
I've talked to has said Spruill. So Zeke Spruill.
And then last offseason, he trades Jared Parker for Trevor Cahill. This is somebody who's definitely got shortstops and ground ball starting pitchers on his mind.
The other team that tried this, they did a different way because they went with vets, but the Indians tried to build a ground ball staff in 2012, and it did not go well for them.
Well, two of them were really low strikeout guys, Derek Lowe, the former Fausto Carmona.
Right, and the other thing is that to the Diamondbacks' credit on this, they are building a better infield defense to go with
mm-hmm.
this than the
and
Indians.
And guys with firmer stuff, Delgado and Cahill, firmer stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Spruill, I don't think, is going to be a big strikeout guy in the major leagues, but –
it is fascinating, though, this is Kevin Towers' team.
Yeah. mean, we traded three of the last five first-round picks.
It did not take long for him to say, put his stamp in and say, nope, this is my team. And, hey, for good or bad, if it works, he gets credit. He deserves credit because this isn't, well, you won with the guys who you inherited. This is you turned around and decided you were going to make a team in a different direction. And if it doesn't work, at the flip side, you don't have, you know, if, put it this way, if Trevor Bauer goes out this year and is really good with the Indians, that's on KT, you know. And if you look and Justin Upton over the next 3 years is the Justin Upton that many people expect he will be, That's on the Diamondbacks. That's on Kevin Towers. I mean, these are moves that you make if you are a very confident GM. A GM who's a little, you know, and I don't think there are a whole lot of GMs out there like this, but if you're a GM who's not really confident in your scouts, in your front office, and in yourself, in your decision-making, there's a lot of these trades that have a high risk that they could really come back and burn the Diamondbacks to me. What do you think?
I think that's fair. Bauer, third pick. Upton, first pick. Both consensus top talents in their drafts. Both have reached the major leagues.
Jared Parker, for that matter, another first-round pick, as you said, he traded away. I mean,
it's amazing.
It's amazing that when we were talking a year ago, if we'd have been having this podcast talking about the Diamondbacks, the thing we would have talked about is all their starting pitching depth.
Mm.
And what's interesting is that their rotation is dramatically different in many ways than what would have been projected to be, going into 2013. Trevor Bauer is not part of it. Randall Delgado is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, at one point last year, you were talking about, at the top end of their farm system as far as pitchers, you had Skaggs, you had Bauer, you had Parker, you had...
They still have Corbin, too.
Corbin, you have Miley.
Miley.
Yeah, Miley, who had a great year last year as a rookie. The farm system was strong when they came in. They're using it in different ways to see, what they can do for 2013. For the Braves now, you obviously, putting Upton, an outfield of Upton and Hayward looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Looks very good. What do you think, though? The thing that stands out to me is that if you're the Braves, you make this move with the idea that the upgrade you get with Upton should counteract any loss of pitching depth or a hole at third base. But I do look at third base right now and say, Chris Johnson, Juan Francisco, how long can that go?
I think it's going to be one of the top scoring teams in the National League. And plus, the Braves are motivated now by looking up at the Nationals and looking at this, what looks like a super team on paper, and thinking, if we want to help level the odds to help try to win the East and make the Nationals come in through the wild card. It's almost like a Yankees Red Sox situation.
It is. I mean, it's a fascinating situation, but I will be very interested because I thought when Chris Johnson was with the Diamondbacks, I was expecting, that by midseason he would no longer be their third baseman. Now it's kind of okay. Who's going to be? Is it going to be? I'll put it this way. If you do have an outfield of Hayward, Upton, and Upton, and Juan Francisco's in the lineup the same night, there are nights where that could be, so-and-so struck out 12 last night as the Braves fell. That's a lot of swing and miss. That's not all bad because the swing and miss comes with a lot of, it landed over the fence. But
yeah, well, I think, third base and second base look like they're going to be the weakest offensive positions unless Ugla bounces back in a big way. Because they're going to have McCann and Freeman, and Simmons will be good for a shortstop.
That's interesting. Sounds like Simmons is going to be the leadoff hitter now, which that's going to be an interesting. That seems like a stretch of a role for him in his first full season. But I don't think they also have a whole lot of options. They really, as you pointed out, there are a lot more middle lineup hitters here than that. That's the thing that they do lose in trading away Martin Prado. Martin Prado was the table setter at the top. Now it's really a lineup with a lot of guys who would normally project about somewhere between third and sixth in the lineup.
Yeah.
Not a terrible thing to have, But
no, it's an interesting group.
But we hadn't talked about the other big trade that's happened here in 2013. If you want all of our analysis, go to, baseballamerica.com/today/majors/trade-central, or you just lose the drop down on the major section, go to Trade Central that way. I think there's also one on the front page of baseballamerica.com. But, so I did want to ask you, speaking of Mariners, the Mariners were involved in the other significant trade of 2013.
Yeah, Upton spurned them, so they turned to the Nationals instead.
Morse.
And picked up Mike Morse.
And they sent John Jaso down the highway to Oakland. And then the Nationals said, "Hey, J. Cole, we liked you even when we did trade you, so come on back home." So,
yeah, shades of Gio Gonzalez going back and forth to the White Sox again and again.
So what did you think on that deal?
I know it goes against the conventional wisdom out there, but I like it for the Mariners, getting a big power bat like Morse at a position, left field, first base, that they really needed it. I think they're selling high on Jaso. I don't think there's many teams who would be willing to give him 100 starts at catcher, and the Mariners didn't even do that last year.
Right. The interesting thing I'm fascinated to see now is what does this mean as far as Jesus Montero catcher? Is this... mean that they're, I can't imagine they're not going to go out and get someone else to kind of help fill in, you know, solidify their, you know, at catcher. But this does seem like maybe this means that Jose, you know, that Jesus Montero is going to play more catcher than it's maybe a lot of us.
A strong signal. I mean, they traded his chief competitor.
Well, they not only traded his chief competitor, but they are now pretty, you know, unless you're ready to give up on Justin Smoke, they're end of the easy end of the defensive spectrum guys are pretty full up now. I mean,
because they brought Ibanez back, and he can only play DH essentially against right-handers. You got Morris in left field every day, Smoke at first every day, you know.
And I do think this is the last year that Justin Smoke's got to do something this year, or this is the end of the Justin Smoke. Where is Justin Smoke gone? You know, would be the question at the end of this year if he is not. Has a better year. I know he was a little bit improved at the end of last year, but mm-hmm. still, that's obviously a prospect trade that has not worked out yet, as the Mariners would have hoped and expected.
No.
But what do you think also on this, the AJ Cole going back? You know, usually a lot of times I've had scouts tell me when you see a guy traded, they often go, mm-hmm. makes me wonder. I think if you have that, you know, if you're a scout and you have that question with AJ Cole, I think you can clearly say take that away now, because if a team's willing to trade, the interesting thing is I feel like that the Nationals, they traded high on AJ Cole last year, and then I think they're getting him back at a little bit lower rate this year.
Yeah, I agree, because he's not somebody who went sideways last year. He went backward. You know, he went to high A to start the year and it was terrible. And the A's sent him back to the Midwest League, and he was good. I think he ranked in Jim's top 10 in the Midwest League. You know, he's a guy who's got the size and the stuff that you look for in a right-handed starting prospect, but the results above low A have not been there. So they have are either very familiar with him and like what they remember working with him, or they just have great reports on his stuff last year.
Well, but I like that if you're a team. Like, if you sold high on a guy, the guy goes the next year and falls on his face a little bit in a new organization – I'm kind of surprised they didn't get Brad Peacock back in the deal, too. Like, hey, you didn't, you know, don't worry, we'll fix them, too.
It's a
you know, hey, because Peacock obviously also, I mean, really took a step back last year. Yeah. You're talking about a guy who was a top 60 prospect the year before.
And Derek Norris ends up getting all the playing time.
You know, but I do think for the national standpoint, if you bring about, you know, clearly they do believe in him. Clearly they mm-hmm. think, you know, hey, we can fix this guy. Because it was. I mean, it was a pretty – I know, as you said, he improved when he got back to the Midwest League, but it was pretty much a falling on his face when he went up to high A. I mean,
yeah.
An ERA, when your ERA is sounds like a Boeing jet, you're never in good shape.
He ranks high on that A's list, and as I said, the body and the stuff are there.
So we'll
Nationals
see.
Like the history.
But, well, this was, you know, we want to keep this one pretty tight because you already have 70 minutes to listen to today with the college podcast. But we did want to... also remind you, we've got great news. If you've seen it, if you're following us on Twitter at Baseball America. Oh, by the way, that's Matt's at Eddie MK.
Yes.
And I'm at JJCoop36. But we've tweeted the photos out. We've posted them on our Facebook page. I think we've also put a photo up on the front page of the site. The prospect handbook is here. So order if you want it. If you want to get it soon, the best way to do it is order it through us. If you go to baseballamerica.com and go to the store on baseballamerica.com, you can purchase it now. If you do that, to buy it through us, not only do you get it first, because the bookstores and all are not going to get it for at least a little while longer. It always comes to us first, and then the distribution channels for that way take a little bit longer. But you also get an additional 30 scouting reports because we do the 31st prospect in every organization. And this year, you also got a new thing. You also get a 5-card pack of Topps Bowman cards to go with it as well. So there's a lot of reasons to get your hands on your prospect handbook now, and they are shipping out now. So if you already have ordered it, and a lot of people on the podcast do, it's not going to be long. I know Ronnie and the rest of our crew that ships them out is busy at work now. The tape gun is blazing. So, again, thank you for the download. Thank you for this download the second time today. A lot of great stuff up on the site today. We have a new preseason top 25 with very in-depth scouting reports on all 25 teams. We have Matt's analysis of the Upton trade. You know, obviously a good companion to this podcast. And we got the Dodgers top 10 coming up tomorrow. We've still got three teams left of top 10s. We have Dodgers, tomorrow, and then Monday we have...
Is it Padres Monday?
Padres Monday.
Yes.
That's Matt, yep. And then wrapping it up, rounding third and headed to home on... So it'll be Giants on Wednesday. Next Wednesday, that'll wrap it up. And then that means that Top 100 Prospects is not far, you know, a couple weeks away from unveiling our Top 100 as well. So thanks again for the download, everyone, and we will be back shortly. We got an NOS Top 10 podcast, you know, Prospects podcast I'm sure Matt will be involved in coming up before too long. So thanks again, everybody.